From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's Friday, which means it's time for our reporter roundtable, where we talk about stories making headlines across the 21st state. In a few minutes, we'll talk with a colleague from WIUM, Tri-States Public Radio, about what's been making news in Galesburg and Macomb. But we begin with our continuing coverage of the killing of Sonya Massey by a Sangamon County Sheriff's deputy. Joining us now to talk about the latest is Dean Olson, senior reporter for Illinois Times. Dean, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
Since we last spoke, the Sangamon County Sheriff's Department has a new leader. Former Springfield Police Lieutenant Paula Crouch was appointed as sheriff. She has enacted changes aimed at more thorough background checks and transparency. What does that entail?
Paula Crouch has said that she's going to be filing Freedom of Information Act requests in addition to contacting previous employers. And the FOIA's Freedom of Information requests are new. I think they traditionally have not done that. The previous sheriff, Jack Campbell, said he relied on professional courtesy. It's unclear whether that professional courtesy was really followed with Sean Grayson, because we didn't get a lot of information about Jack Campbell before he resigned from Jack Campbell. And so Paula Crouch said she's going to formalize that as part of the process. She's also going to be keeping more detailed records of who was contacted, try to have in-person or live phone conversations, and make sure to talk to the supervisors of the previous previous employers of these people, especially if they worked previously for police agencies and are not brand new out of the police academy.
Boy, it doesn't say, I don't know if you want to comment on this, it doesn't say much good about the sort of thin blue line aspect of this if a government agency feels the need to FOIA another government agency to find out if there was misconduct in a potential employee's past.
I think Crouch, who apparently cannot be ordered to do this by the county board, the Republicans on the county board have rejected efforts by Democrats to actually make a county law that requires her to do certain things, like not hire people who have DUIs in their background like Sean Grayson did, or make sure to do this or that. The Republicans who control the county board say that's illegal, that a sheriff is duly elected and has a lot of basically total say over how he or she runs their department, except they get funding from the county board. So I think that Paula is recognizing the pressure that people have put on the county board and is trying to get along with them, and also recognizes that what happened with Sean Grayson is that many of the things that Jack Campbell didn't know, or at least says he didn't know, were uncovered through FOIA requests from the news media within a week or two of the murder of Sonya Massey in July. So I think part of that is a recognition that there are just gaps. And Illinois legislature could enact laws that require these things to be done as part of hiring. But beyond that, it looks like county boards don't have the power to do it.
All right. So one of the other aspects of this story, let's stick with Sheriff Crouch for a moment, actually. What has been the community response, maybe police reform activists' response to her appointment?
I think they've been fairly happy with her, especially offering those things to do. Mark Ayers is one of the county board members, Democratic member, who's really been pushing for these reforms, and he's been pleasantly surprised at how cooperative she is. They want to give her a chance. And there's also a U.S. Department of Justice investigation that has requested information about hiring practices within the department, within the county. And she said she's cooperating with that and expected that to happen. It's unknown the timeline for that. So I think that people are giving her a chance. I think there's been more tense relationships with the Republicans on the county board among the Democrats, because there's an ongoing issue related to whether a sheriff should be, whether voters should have the option to recall a sheriff in the future. They don't want to recall Crouch, but the Republicans on the board basically say they don't believe that they have the authority to even ask voters, or they believe that if they ask voters and that's approved, that that will prompt a lawsuit that will cost the county additional money. Well, the activists say that we've already paid more than $12 million in settlements to handle wrongful death lawsuits against the county involving the sheriff's department. So it's kind of disingenuous to say we want to save money when we've already demonstrated that there's been bad behavior. And so that's a big issue right now. But as far as Crouch, they're giving her a chance. And she says that she hasn't hired anybody under these new parameters yet, but that's how she plans to proceed.
You know, very briefly, you touched on this idea of the Department of Justice investigation. This is the sort of thing that in some cases can ultimately lead to consent decrees and attempts at changing departments, although how effective they are is something that we've seen vary quite a bit depending on how willing the department is to cooperate. But, you know, I can't help but notice there's going to be a big change coming in Washington in January. And President-elect Trump, while he's been vocal about supporting law enforcement, except for the Capitol Police and the D.C. Police on January 6th, I mean, do you have any sense as to whether this Justice Department involvement in cases like this might change under a Trump administration?
I think there have been fears among the Black Lives Matter movement that it will change, but so far nothing has changed. I think right after Sonya Massie was murdered, I think Trump was asked about this and he didn't recall hearing about it or something like that. There hasn't been any other comment from the president, the president-elect about that. So I think that's really an open question right now. I think it would look really bad if that were rescinded. That would just prompt even more unrest in the community. I mean, there's a lot of unrest right now surrounding this whole case, especially around Sean Grayson and his status being jailed. So there's
a lot. Let's get to that, because we're almost out of time. But I do want to ask about that, because there has been this legal back and forth, different courts saying different things about whether he would be granted pretrial release. What is the status of that?
The status is that Grayson's lawyers have appealed the denial of release by the local judge in Sangamon County by Ryan Cadigan, and the appellate court for this district ruled that the state's attorney here didn't present compelling evidence to demonstrate that Sean Grayson is a danger to society, and that has and the appellate court says unless there's a decision by the Supreme Court overruling them, he will be released on January 2nd, and there will be conditions set for his release. He lives in a town right surrounding Springfield, so that has really upset a lot of people, because the standard under which he would be released was set by the Safety Act, which eliminated cash bond in Illinois, and Black legislators in the legislature pushed for this change because they believed a lot of Black defendants were being held in jail unnecessarily because they couldn't afford bond. And yet in Sangamon County, several people charged with first-degree murder have been released. And in all of those cases, they're awaiting trial. In all of those cases, the defendants are white and the people who were killed were Black. And so this has prompted calls to the legislature to tweak this, give judges more discretion to keep people in jail. And it's kind of an ironic twist to the whole situation.
Dean Olson, senior reporter at Illinois Times, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us on the 21st show.
Thank you.
And we turn now to Jane Carlson, a regional reporter with WIUM, Tri-States Public Radio, to talk about stories in Galesburg and Macomb. Jane, welcome back to the show. And let's dive right in with a state lawmaker from Western Illinois who is sounding the alarm on illicit drugs entering prisons over the past couple of years. What's going on there?
Well, AFSCME Council 31 is the first to sound the alarm on this. They staged demonstrations across the state in October. They say drug use has exploded inside Illinois prisons in the last couple years, and they say it's coming in through the mail, like envelopes soaked in fentanyl or roach spray. And overdoses inside prisons are increasing. So are instances of prison employees getting ill. And that's part of what State Senator Tracy was sounding the alarm about. She talked to some correctional officers and mailroom employees at Western Illinois Correctional Center in Mount Sterling about the issue. Now, the Department of Corrections does have a contract with a Texas company to scan all paper mail and deliver it digitally to inmates, but that's not going to be in place for 7 months or so. So Tracy says she wants the Department of Corrections to do something before then.
Yeah, and I've seen activists saying, sort of prison rights activists saying that depriving people of paper mail is sort of like... It's not very good for them either if you're just going to be only get email. Yeah, interesting.
And I've been telling you, it's a small percentage of people inside these institutions who are using these substances. And so this is a safety issue for people inside as well as correctional officers.
Yeah. Fascinating. Let's move quickly to Western Illinois University. It has a new president. Who is it, and what sort of changes might we expect?
The new president is Christy Mindrup. She was appointed last week. She is the 13th president of WIU, and she's the first woman in the role. She has been interim president since April, but she has also a long and interesting history with the university. She started working in 1997 as a nighttime phone clerk at the Quad Cities campus, and she's worked her way up while getting advanced degrees and serving in various administrative capacities. Now, Dr. Mindrup says she's going to keep doing what she has been doing since April, which is, you know, to get through some financial hardships and help Western grow.
And I suppose maybe I should just disclose for the sake of transparency, since WIUM, as the name suggests, is part of Western Illinois University, she's probably somewhere above you on the employment chart there at WIU.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's stick with another education story for a moment. And this has to do with how kids are getting to school. It's become a lot more high tech in Galesburg District 205. How so?
It absolutely has. So the Galesburg School District got a $9 million grant a couple of years ago from the EPA's Clean School Bus Program. That amounted to 23 electric buses, as well as charging infrastructure that were rolled out this fall. That's now more than half of the district's fleet. So 1,000 students or so are riding electric buses to school in Galesburg. And of course, there are environmental benefits for students here. It's also much quieter. That's one thing that bus drivers were telling me. So they can hear what's going on the bus better. There's no noise that yelling.
Is that a blessing or a curse? I don't know.
and the other thing I thought was interesting about this was the learning curve for, you know, longtime diesel mechanics and bus drivers. First Student is the district's transportation provider, but, you know, essentially they all had to go back to school to learn how to maintain and drive these new electric buses.
Why Galesburg? No offense to Galesburg, but it's you know, a relatively small city.
What I was told is the district wasn't even sure that they were going to apply for this grant. And the last minute they did, and they got it. Now, when there was a celebration for these buses being rolled out, there was a representative from the EPA there and says, you know, the grants are open. There's more funding. So he's encouraging school districts to apply.
Amazing. All right. Galesburg Public Library has found another role for itself beyond books, specifically focusing on social service needs. What's going on there?
Well, Galesburg's new $20 million public library opened in April of this year, and this situation is not unique to Galesburg, but librarians are dealing with a lot more social service needs in the community in this new building. People are coming in for warmth. They're coming in for safety. They're coming in for information about where they can get food and hygiene products, and you know where they can find a place to sleep at night. And you know, library administration say this is partly because the new library is more visible in the new location. It takes up an entire city block on Main Street, and the library does say helping people find resources falls under their mission of being a center of information. However, they are looking to hire a safety coordinator because, as you know, librarians are not social workers, and there really is this need being demonstrated in the community with the library being kind of a center of information. People are going there. And I will say, too, that library administration is adamant that this space was designed for everyone in the community, and it will continue to be a safe space for people in need of things like food and clothing and hygiene products.
Oh, fascinating. I've heard of the inner, you know, sort of library of things that you can check out, you know, devices and games and that sort of thing. I guess moving into social services makes sense. Yeah. We're going to have to leave it there. Jane Carlson is a regional reporter with WIUM, Tri-States Public Radio. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for sharing your reporting with us.
Thanks, Brian.
Coming up after the break, we are going to be talking about immigration and what changes may be coming under the Trump administration, specifically a Trump aide, one of his top incoming immigration officials, gave a speech in Chicago this week vowing mass deportations from the city. We're going to talk about that after a short break here on the 21st Show. Stay with us.